This is The Beat, a podcast series that keeps you in the know about the latest community policing topics facing our nation.
This is Deborah Cohen McCullough with the U.S. Department of Justice Cops Office. With us today is Lori Stevens, founder and principal consultant with Laws Communications. We have a few questions for Lori today about the use of social media by law enforcement. Lori, to start us off, can you tell us a little bit about Laws Communications and the types of resources law enforcement can find through Laws Communications?
Sure, Deborah. First of all, thanks for having me. At Laws Communications, we focus primarily on communication strategy, and we do that exclusively for law enforcement. So, for example, prior to the onset of social media, law enforcement didn't really have opportunities to distribute their messages, at least not like they do today. So our focus at LawsCom is primarily digital strategy to help them understand how to best do that with a proactive strategy. I think our biggest area, though, is training. We do a lot of training in the fundamentals of social media. And the other big focus for us is the SMILE conference. So SMILE is social media, the internet, and law enforcement. And then I also have the Connected Cops blog, which is over 3 years old now. And it's got hundreds of articles on it, written mostly by law enforcement professionals from all over the world in social media and other interactive technology for police.
Why is it important for law enforcement to be knowledgeable and good stewards of interactive and social media?
You know, I think in order to answer that question properly, I have to first say that we need to be aware of what's happening in the big picture, overall. We get caught up, I think, in our day-to-day activities, and I think some in law enforcement executives view social media as a checkbox. You know, you just slap up a Facebook page and you call it done. There, we're doing social media. And in reality, it's about so much more than that. And in fact, we're living inside of a communications revolution. And this revolution is about openness, and it affects every single organization on the planet. So it's not just for business, but it's for government, and it's certainly for law enforcement. So it's important to become good stewards, as you say, because not to do so is to ignore that fact. That this is a fundamental shift in the way things work. And the agencies who think there is a choice anymore as to whether they participate in use social media will soon be left in the dark, and that's happening really, really fast. And, you know, I think as humans, we fear what we don't understand. And I think many, maybe nearly all police executives and managers still don't really understand how profound this change is. I can count probably on one hand, maybe plus a couple extra fingers, you know, the number of police chiefs, say, in the U.S. and Canada who really think they get this. But some understand it in a limited way and have embraced it in their agencies, but many of them still don't get the depth that we're talking about.
As more and more people build online communities, how are agencies using social media to advance community policing?
Well, I think the agencies who are doing a good job are using social to engage with citizens, to actually hear what they're saying and to respond to them. You know, they're using social media to reach demographics that until now were difficult or impossible to reach. And that is the core of community policing, right? When I think of specific examples, I think of one officer who checks in on his city subway system on Foursquare to let people on the subway know he's there and where to find him. Or, you know, there's many agencies who are very effectively using social to distribute mugshots in order to source identities of murder victims or whereabouts of suspects. There's also an agency in Australia who has replicated its neighborhood watch program with over 100 Facebook pages to make it easier to allow citizens to, in their words, be the eyes and ears of public safety. And these kinds of things are just brilliant. You know, just this morning I heard a little bit about a NYPD officer using social to find runaway kids. So the examples of that, you know, really good use of social media are really endless. I think what's important to realize that in every one of these cases, agencies are achieving major results and effectiveness beyond what could possibly have happened without social media. And when this happens, that's the sweet spot. That's where the magic happens. And this is where efficiencies start to be realized. And we all know how important it is for police to continue to do more and more while always, you know, being given fewer resources.
So let's take that a bit further. In talking about the foundations of online community policing, How else is social media being used in investigations and problem solving?
Well, Deborah, I'm not a law enforcement professional. I'm not trained in policing. I'm a media person. So I don't pretend to know all there is to know about investigations. And I think that some of that is really obvious to law officers, and they understand the investigative side of social media sooner and more in depth than even the community outreach side. But from my perspective, those two sides aren't really separate anymore. You know, it boils down to crowdsourcing. And obviously with investigations, there are major exceptions depending on the circumstances, and certainly anything that's, you know, it needs to be covert, it's as covert in social media as in any other case. But when an investigation isn't covert, it doesn't need to focus on certain individuals, the ability to source potentially tens of thousands of potential witnesses all at once is very powerful, whether that be to solve crime or to solve problems. And then when I was thinking about this question, I went to your own website to look at the definition of community policing, just as a reminder, and of course the third pillar being problem solving. And you mentioned on your website, scanning, analysis, response, assessment. That is precisely what social media does and what it's so effective at.
Lori, if a police chief asked you to provide a bulleted list of the top 10 most important aspects of using social media in a law enforcement context, what 10 things would you put on that list?
Well, in fact, police chiefs ask me that all the time. I'm reminded that there's a recent study out by a company called Accenture, and it found that 88% of citizens want to help their police department solve crimes, and they want to hear more from their police departments. And you think about that, and police don't talk to those 88%. They talk about the people who are causing them problems. But until social media came around, it was difficult for police departments to reach that 88% without having to rely on traditional media. So, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing, is to get to those people. I've also seen agencies achieve huge successes in things like recruiting, both in getting more and better quality candidates, but also with the ability to recruit from those certain demographics, maybe some minority groups that don't necessarily gravitate towards police work. And then I would say, Chief, I know you don't have a lot of money to throw around, because every police chief is facing that these days, cuts to their ranks and cuts to their budgets. And social media just increases your effectiveness potentially. If it's carried out with real strategy and purpose, you really achieve huge results. And then, I don't know if we're on number four, number five here, but I think that, we've seen time and time again in large cases, small cases, anything at all that police are dealing with, if they're not on social media, someone else will do it for you. And that's almost never a good thing. And in my training, I talk to people about controlling the virtual scene. Any time something is happening in real life, whether they're dealing with a shooting or a protest or anything like that, there's a virtual scene. There's a conversation going on. And if they're going to ignore that, it's to their own peril, because that virtual scene is always affecting the real life situation. And so it's both a challenge, because they need to get in there and try to influence that, if not control it. Control it's not always a bad word. But it's also an opportunity, to achieve some more positive results by getting in there and trying to be part of that virtual conversation. I think also social media is just, we've seen so many agencies have huge success with dissolving that media filter. Police agencies always get frustrated over the lack of coverage of their events or coverage that they don't think is fair and balanced. And now they have an opportunity to be their own newsroom, essentially. And many agencies are doing that with various degrees of results, but it's mostly all positive. Even reaching the hard to reach, not everybody likes cops, but, those are the people, whether they don't like you or they're just they don't speak English, or for whatever other reason they're difficult to reach, social media now offers you an opportunity to reach them. You can cast a really big net with social media, and you can get everybody all at once, or you can get right down to the specific demographic that you want to reach if you do it right. And so you can look at it that way. And again, it all goes back to strategy, but you can get those hard-to-reach people. And just even in improving internal communications, a lot of times, we forget to talk to our own internal folks, and social media is a great way to keep communication flow really strong internally. And then I think probably finally is just, it's an opportunity to build an agency's own brand or to enhance their own reputation. And I think never before have they had, you know, an opportunity to try to get out there what their mission and what their vision and what they stand for. And if they let that drive everything they do in their communications plan, that eventually has to come out. That eventually is going to, allow them to let citizens see them for what they stand for and what they believe in and what they're there for.
Lori, thank you so much for your time and expertise today. If listeners are looking for more information on this topic, where can they find it?
I guess the first place I would point them to would be the ConnectedCops.net blog. As I mentioned, there's a lot of articles on there. I've written some of them, but most of them are written by other law enforcement professionals. So that's a really good resource. And then probably the Smile Conference at smileconference.com. That's a good place to meet like-minded individuals and who are dealing with the same sorts of issues. And again, that's a very international and international event as well.
Thank you, Lori.
Thank you so much, Deborah, for having me on.
The Beat was brought to you by the United States Department of Justice Cops Office. The Cops Office helps to keep our nation's communities safe by giving grants to law enforcement agencies, developing community policing publications, developing partnerships, and solving problems.
The opinions contained herein are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official position or policies of the U.S. Department of Justice. References to specific agencies, companies, products, or services should not be considered an endorsement by the authors or the U.S. Department of Justice. Rather, the references are illustrations to supplement discussion of the issues.